Good morning. Good to see each and every one of you here this morning at services here at the Centerville Church of Christ. We're kicking off our month of Sundays, September series today. We're glad to have you here. We're glad to have Brother Jeremy Butt here. I'll talk a little bit more about him in just a moment. I'll give you a couple of updates on some announcements that we need to let you know of. Bobby Mayberry is doing well and recovering from surgery. And we found out yesterday evening that Rick Bruno was in a lawn mowing accident, and he has a broken right leg, a broken nose. It's my understanding that he'll go in surgery this afternoon at Vanderbilt. So keep Brother Rick Bruno in your prayers as well. Pam Anderson, we've been asked to mention her. That is the mother of Selena, who is undergoing tests. Kevin Copley is in critical condition, is what we are told, with COVID pneumonia. So we want to remember that family as well. We want to express our sympathy to the family of Dennis Hall. They are former members here, and I was given a note about the arrangements there. The visitation for Dennis Hall will be at the Springfield Memorial Gardens on Wednesday, September the 8th, from 4 o'clock to 8 o'clock, and the service is on Thursday at 11 a.m. with visitation 1 hour prior to that service. So we want to keep that family in our prayers as well. Judy Matlock's brother Wayne is in the hospital, and he has COVID as well. So we want to keep him in our prayers. Certainly a congratulations, as we mentioned Wednesday night, to Ben and Brooke Austin at the birth of their son, Ridge Cole, 8 pounds, 3 ounces, and 21 inches. Proud grandparents are Patrick and Anita Allen, John and Gail Austin, and Jennifer Leach. Great grandmother are Miss Corrine Allen, and we're just so thankful for them. We are thankful that you are here. We have worked very, very hard in the last several months to make preparation for our Sunday series, our month of Sundays. And obviously, we know that we're focusing on the whole month of faithfulness, our commitment to God. And then we will end on the 19th with our 150th celebration of the Centerville Church of Christ. We're thankful that Brother Jeremy Butt is here today. Jeremy is a brother in Christ. Jeremy is a friend. And I appreciate so much the friendship that Jeremy and I share. If you are upset about me being your preacher here, you can blame Jeremy. Because Jeremy's the one that got me in touch with Shane at the appropriate time when you all were searching. So if you don't like me, blame him. If you do like me, thank me. No, I'm just kidding. Jeremy is the preacher at the Northview Congregation in Columbia. That is where my in-laws are members. Jeremy is originally from Portland, Tennessee, I believe. He and his wife, Diane, have how many sons? Three? Two. Two and one daughter. See, I've messed that up already. One of his sons has been kind of hanging around with my niece a little bit, so we're going to give him a hard time about that. But Jeremy's a fine young man. Jeremy's older than me. We'll just leave it at that. But Jeremy is a great example. Jeremy is a good gospel preacher. And I appreciate so much what he stands for, he and his family and their faithfulness to the Lord. And I am so thankful that I got to get him to come here to kick off our September series. He will not disappoint. He's going to talk to us this morning about the subject of faithfulness and how that applies in each and every one of our lives. So we're just thankful for Jeremy, for his willingness to preach the gospel, for his love for the Lord, and for his love for the church. And we need more men like Jeremy Butt in the brotherhood today. So, in our worship service today, Luke Worsham is going to have our opening prayer. Colby Shelton will have our dismissal prayer. Shane is going to lead us in our singing. And at the appropriate time, Brother Jeremy will deliver our message to us today. As we begin this morning, as we think about our heritage, as we think about our faithfulness, and as we begin our worship service to our God, let us go to Him in prayer.
I would ask that you bow and pray with me as we pray to our God. Dear Lord, we give you thanks for this time that we have this morning to gather here to worship you. That's the only purpose we have this morning. We enjoy that worship to you each first day of the week. And we pray that as we offer up our worship this morning, that it is pleasing to you. It's in accordance with your will, as you've so told us in your holy word. Lord, there are many this morning that we want to think about and to pray for that have physical problems in their life. We know that the doctors and the nurses that tend to them are doing everything they can and know to do. We pray for that guidance for them so that they will give the proper treatments. We pray for your help in healing and resolving these physical problems with them. This morning, Lord, as we remember Bobby Mayberry and the recent surgery that he underwent, and we just pray that you would continue to bless him and help him to heal quickly and to heal sufficiently. Dear Lord, we pray for Danny Skelton this morning and pray that the things that have been done for him will be positive and successful. This morning we think of Luther Brown and the treatments that he's receiving, and we pray for those to be successful in the outcome. We pray for him and for his comfort. This morning we also pray for Kevin Copley, very seriously ill. Dear Lord, we just pray that the doctors will be able to give him the treatments that he needs to help him through this time. We pray also for Travis Barber, with complications that he's undergoing. We pray that his body will respond to treatments and that he will get better. Dear Lord, we pray this morning for Paul Gentry, Pam Anderson, for Rick Bruno, for Judy's brother. We just pray that all of these will successfully come through the time that they are having right now. We pray this morning for those who are in mourning, and it seems as though in this day and time that those kinds of news and that kind of news comes often. We just pray you'd be with Todd's family and the loss of another cousin. I pray that that family will be comforted and just help them through this time. We also pray for the Dennis Hall family and the loss of Dennis, and pray that you will strengthen them. Help those that live close to them be an encouragement to them and a help to them. Dear Lord, this morning we have things to be thankful for and rejoice in. One of those things is the birth of a young baby, Ridge Cole Austin. We thank you for the successful birth. We thank you that he and the mother are doing fine, and we pray that you'd continue to bless Brooke and Ben as they raise this young child in the way that you would have him go. Dear Lord, we pray also for those individuals who have been experienced the problems of the floods. We still pray for those individuals in Waverly, the loss of large amounts of property, but most of all for the loss of loved ones who did not make it through the flood. Dear Lord, we thank you that there has been an outreach and an outgoing of help to that area. And we pray that as time goes on over the next months and years, that we do not forget them as they try to put their lives back together. We also pray for those individuals in Hickman County that have been disadvantaged by the floods. There are several sister congregations that have suffered losses of buildings and damage to buildings, and although those are only buildings, and we know that the individuals who worship there are the true church, we pray that you would be with them as they try to recover and reestablish their meeting places. Help us to do the things that we can to offer them encouragement and to offer them help. Lord, there's many other things that we could ask you. You know what those things are. You know the things that are on our hearts. We pray that you'd be with our leaders in this country as well as in the whole world. The world seems like it's in such a turmoil today. And we just pray for your help and your guidance in those areas to try to better the situation. We thank you most of all for the heritage that this congregation has. And as we embark on a month to remember that heritage, but also to remind us that all those things that have been done in the past were done for your glory. And all of those successes that have been realized were done because of your help through those times. We pray that you'd continue to bless this congregation here. Help us to always remember who we're working for. And dear Lord, help us always to look for opportunities to serve you and to serve others. Thank you most of all this morning, Lord, for your Son Jesus, who came here to live as a man on this earth, who told us how we needed to live and told us how we could enjoy a life with you as we pass on from this earth. Dear Lord, thank you so much for that sacrifice he made for us so that we can enjoy that hope and that promise of eternity. Be with us now as we worship you this morning. I pray that you be with Jeremy as he brings your word to us later on. Be with all of those who serve in this service this morning to worship you. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Scripture reading this morning will be from Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law.
Let us please stand as we sing.
As the Let's go to our God in prayer. God, before we come before you this Lord's Day morning in a humble manner to worship you in spirit and truth with one voice as your church, as your body of believers, we thank you so much for the gift of the church. But this month, God, as we celebrate this congregation in particular and its rich history, we thank you for the people that have made this place as special as it is and has been over the years. We thank you for our leaders who guide us in the direction we need to go, who make some tough decisions. And God, we know that over the last year, because of the pandemic and certainly several other situations, those decisions haven't always been easy and they haven't always been clear. But we're thankful, God, that you have put in charge of us at this church a group of faithful leaders who seek your will and seek your guidance and who prioritize more than anything else gathering together to worship you and fulfilling our obligation as the church to follow your will and to do what you would have us to do. God, we pray for all of us as we live out our walks of faith, as we walk with you, that our faith won't be one that is only exercised on a Sunday and a Wednesday. But God, we pray that we have a faith that is powerful and that seeks you every single day, not only through prayer, not only through something that we post on social media, but through a study of your word, by pouring into the truth of your word. Because God, we know that in the difficult fight we face against our enemy, the devil, that is our one offensive weapon that we have, is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And we pray, Lord, that we take advantage of that as often as we can. God, we want to say a special prayer this morning for Kevin Copley and his family, his kids, Emma, Ella, and Bryson. As Todd told us earlier, Kevin is in critical condition. And Lord, so many in this congregation love that sweet family. And we pray for Kevin, and we pray that, as Mr. Ken said, that the doctors who are tending to him are able to do everything in their power to keep him well. And God, we know that you have the power to raise people from the dead, and that you offer that same power, that resurrection power, to all who believe. And so we pray, God, that you take this situation into your hands, and if it be in your will, to bring him out of this situation safe and healthy. God, we pray for each of us that we're willing to, in our lives, put our trust in you, not in things of the world, not in the things that the world tells us are important, not in a political candidate or a party, but God, that we're always looking to you. Because God, you never let us down. You never change. And you're supremely and perfectly consistent. And God, we can't say that about anything in the world, but we can definitely say it about you. And so God, as we go through struggles in our life, as we go through things that bring us down and make us worry and frustrated, that we won't turn to the ever-shifting and ever-changing things that the world has to offer, that we put you first and that we trust in you. God, as we go through our multiple worship services this morning and this afternoon, we pray that you will bless us, that you will continue to keep us safe and healthy. But God, that the things we learn today from Jeremy's lessons and all we see and hear will be an encouragement and to help us to grow spiritually and to tomorrow be better equipped to serve you than we were today. And we pray also, God, that the fellowship we have today over the meal and outside of that will also be an encouragement and a reminder that we're not in this alone, but that we constantly have this army, this family in the church serving you alongside us. And we pray, God, that we always realize that this family, the church, is always there to pick us up when we need it. We pray all of these things in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Father, Todd, really? I mean, you say that I'm older than you? I mean, we could make the case that I'm older than Renee because she looks so young, but you, come on now, brother. You're supposed to speak truth in the assembly here. I am grateful to be here today. This is a wonderful place. It's a wonderful place because it's full of wonderful people. Centerville is a special congregation of God's people. And I am thankful to have been extended the invitation to be here today. There are so many wonderful faces that I know who have gathered here today, and time will not permit me to mention all of those while we're here this morning. But it is indeed an honor and a privilege to be here with you today. And as we stop and consider that this is the Lord's Day, this is the first day of the week, it is great to be able to assemble for worship. I know with all of the COVID going on, it's affected a lot of people. There are still so many people who are sick and who are in the hospital and are suffering from this, and many people have lost their lives as a result of what's going on. And so we're mindful of all those as we even prayed this morning. But it's a special thing to be able to assemble with God's people, and especially at this place, this day, in this hour. Let's open up with a word of prayer before we get into the lesson. Our Father in heaven, we indeed humbly bow before your throne this very morning. We are mindful of all those who are sick and who are suffering right now, Father, in many different ways, as we have prayed for these this morning. And people all over the globe are praying for different individuals and locations this morning. Father, we ask that you bless us during our sermon time this morning as we continue our worship to you. We're grateful to be in this place at this time. Father, we're grateful for the faithfulness of your Son as he left heaven and came down to this earth to go to the cross for us. And Father, we're so thankful for that sacrifice that he made, and we're grateful for the fact that he reigns at your right hand in heaven on our behalf. Forgive us of our sins, and we ask that your will be done. It's in Christ's most holy name we pray, and amen. I want you to contemplate a few things with me this morning as we begin our sermon time. I want to remind all of you that God created us as visual creatures. And as I know I am, I like to be able to see things, right? I like to be able to visualize things. I like to be able to see things. And as we understand that we're visual creatures, if you are trying to describe something to someone else, let's just say someone has never seen what something in particular looks like. If you know that something and you've spent time with it, you've seen it, you've touched it, you can describe it, you know what it looks like. And if you are given the task of trying to describe what something looks like to someone else, could you do it? I stop and contemplate some things that I've had in my life over the years that I feel like, do a pretty good job in explaining to someone else what they look like. In fact, just recently, I was knee-deep in a clear, pristine stream in Middle Tennessee. I won't tell you which one. Catching smallmouth bass. I was by myself the other day. I had someone cancel on me. So I made the trek for about the second week in a row by myself. And as I was catching smallmouth bass in one of those clear, pristine streams in Middle Tennessee, I've caught enough of these jokers in my lifetime that I can probably do a fairly good job at describing to you what they look like. If I'm trying to describe a smallmouth bass to someone who's never seen one before, okay, it really doesn't do any good to try to say, well, it's a member of the black bass family. You find them in such and such a place. Well, let me just put it on a more specific, targeted piece of information for you. It's going to be a bronze-colored fish, some of them even more golden, some of them more with an olive hue. They're going to have a set of vertical stripes that you're going to find located on them. Some of them are more black striped in nature. Some of them are just a darker brown. And as you understand that one of the descriptions of a smallmouth bass, they're going to be smaller mouth than a largemouth bass. They're called that for a reason. And the jawbone is not going to extend past the eye, such as you would find in a largemouth bass. I can begin to describe a smallmouth bass to someone, but I can't near describe the joy of catching one when they jump 2 to 3 feet up out of the water and you're reeling them in on 6-pound test in the clear, pristine stream in Middle Tennessee. I love describing smallmouth bass to someone. That's something that I know just a little something about. Todd, I don't know. Oh, there we go. I was about to say, I don't know how this clicker works. I need you to describe that to me, because you know what that clicker looks like. I can describe smallmouth bass. I can also describe the art of taxidermy. Now, some of you say, well, why in the world are you going to put that in a sermon? Well, I have to tell you my background. I grew up the son of a taxidermist. And did you know that's how Bill McDonald got to know my daddy? I believe Bill, when he was in college at Lipscomb, brought him some ducks to be mounted just a few years ago, Bill. I won't say how many. But my dad is a retired taxidermist. My brother has now taken over the taxidermy business. That's something I know a little bit of something about. Now, have I ever mounted something myself? No, but I've done enough work in a taxidermy shop. I know what goes on. And just to spare you all the details, they're going to take the hide of an animal and they're going to eventually, with preparations made, put it on some type of mold or form, and they're going to begin to put some artistic touches on it to recreate it so that you can hang it on your wall, that you can have some type of showcase in your house or in your office or wherever it might be. One of Dad's early slogans was bringing them back to life. Now, Hickman County lost a good one not too long ago in James Johnson. And some of you might not know this, but James Johnson and my dad were business partners back in the day. They were together at Wildlife Mounting Service in Madison, Tennessee. James and Sue wanted to come to Hickman County. So they parted ways. They dissolved their partnership. Dad stayed in Madison. James came, just down out of Pleasantville right there on Highway 100. I killed my first deer at James Johnson's place back in 1988. So my family goes way back with them. I can tell you a little bit about what the art of taxidermy is because I've spent so much time with it in my life. And as we stop and consider this morning, these are things that I can describe to you. I know what they look like and I can describe them to someone else. But if someone was to put the question to me, what does faithfulness look like? That's the question that was given to me this morning for the sermon time. So as we're going to say while I'm up here this morning for a few moments, you know, if I really wanted to be honest and we wanted to give a very succinct answer to this question, we stop and understand that this might be a hard one to answer, but if I wanted to really make it short and sweet, I could tell you that faithfulness looks like Jesus. And to borrow some of my taxidermy terminology from just a moment ago, you know, we really need to flesh that out just a little bit. Because we could say faithfulness looks like Jesus, and the church could say amen, and we could proceed to lunch, and then we'd all be merry on our way. Because we will have answered that question. But we've got to flesh that out a little bit this morning while we're here in our time of study during the sermon at the Centerville Church of Christ on this day. We know that faithfulness does indeed look like Jesus. And as we contemplate it this morning, as we stop and consider some things that we're going to know about from God's Word, the Bible, God's going to be the best artist for for describing what faithfulness looks like. And when we look at the Bible, the Word of God, and we look at the picture of the Son of God with what we have recorded in God's Holy Word, some things I want us to contemplate this morning which will help us answer this question. Faithfulness is going to look like a servant. One of the things that we know about Jesus is that He was faithful as a servant because He came down to this earth. He left heaven and came to earth not to do His own will, but the will of the Father who sent Him. That's one of the things that John is going to put down for us in John chapter 6 in verse 38. When we look at Jesus, we know He was a faithful servant of His Father, God. And so Jesus is going to faithfully serve His Father. That's a picture that we're going to see of Him. But we also understand that Jesus would faithfully also serve mankind. And as we understand that discussion which was taking place in Mark chapter 10, one of the great things that Jesus is going to share on that occasion is found in verse 45. Because the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many. He came to be a servant. He served His Father by doing His will, and He also served mankind. And one of the great illustrations of that is given in John chapter 13, because Jesus would rise from supper, and He would gird Himself with a towel, and He would proceed to wash the feet of His disciples. Jesus was being a servant with He Himself as the Lord and the Master and Teacher. He was providing this ultimate example of service to His disciples on that occasion and using that teachable moment as we see that He was indeed being a servant. So Jesus faithfully served His Father. Jesus faithfully served mankind as we see in God's Holy Word, the Bible. But we also see that Jesus is going to show us something else in Scripture, because faithfulness also looks like a son. Faithfulness looks like a son who is obedient to his father. As we stop and consider, Jesus was indeed faithful as God's son. When we read some things in Scripture, of course we know Moses was faithful as a servant in God's house, but even putting more emphasis on Jesus in this text, as you look at the book of Hebrews, to a large degree, is the idea of better, and the fact that Jesus is better. Well, Jesus was more than just a servant, as Moses was. Jesus was faithful as a son in God's house. And that's one of the great things that we see in Scripture that is spelled out in Hebrews chapter 3 in verse 6. And when we stop and consider of what Jesus had the opportunity to do, we know that Jesus was the Son of God. None of us in this room are going to doubt that this morning. But as I have often said on so many occasions, who better to come down to earth to represent the Father than His very own Son? And we understand in the prologue in John's Gospel, in chapter 1 in verse 18, no one has seen God at any time, but the only begotten God who is in the Son of the Father, He has explained Him. Jesus was faithful in doing what His Father wanted Him to do. And as He would come down to earth to explain the character and the nature of His Father, we see that Jesus would faithfully carry this out. And even as you see on that occasion where Jesus is comforting His disciples when He's going to be going away to prepare a place for them, and He's going to come again and receive them unto Himself. Of course, as Philip is asking that question, Lord, show us the Father, and it's enough for us. And of course, Jesus is telling Philip, have I been so long with you and you don't understand it. Jesus says, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Jesus was faithful as God's Son because he has passed on the very characteristics and nature of his Father when he came to prepare his disciples. And if you think about one of the great characteristics of a son wants to be pleasing to their father. And as Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 29, I always do the things that are pleasing to him. Jesus was faithful as God's Son. We understand that from Scripture. But I want us to also understand that faithfulness, as we're going to find in Scripture, looks like a sacrifice. Faithfulness looks like a sacrifice. And when we understand, if I can get my clicker to go back, it advanced too many times. Okay, here we go. Jesus faithfully gave himself as a sacrifice. When you look at the sacrificial work of the Son of God, we see Jesus pictured as a servant. We see Jesus pictured as a son, but we also see Jesus pictured as a sacrifice. And even when Jesus is brought to the temple, when Simeon is making this prophecy and as he's speaking to Mary and Joseph, and as we see recorded there in verse 35, in part of this prophecy and this blessing, looking ahead, he says, a sword will pierce even your own soul. Simeon was looking ahead, prophesying what was going to happen with the sacrifice of Jesus and what he would do in his mission as he would come down. Jesus was born so that he could die because his sacrificial work was so important. And we see that being part of this faithful picture of the Son of God as recorded in Scripture. Even in the passage that we see Jesus depicted as the Good Shepherd, and we understand that the Good Shepherd lays down his life for his sheep, and Jesus would say in verse 18, I lay it down on my own initiative, on my own accord. He voluntarily did that. No one was taking it from him. It was a voluntary sacrifice. And as we understand what Jesus was going to try to prepare his disciples for, where we see one of these depictions given in Luke chapter 9 and verse 22, at some point after the transfiguration, where Jesus is trying to tell his disciples, what's coming? I'm going to be delivered up. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to be killed. I'm going to be raised up on the third day. He was trying to prepare them for this sacrifice. In fact, in Luke chapter 9 and verse 51, Jesus set his face toward Jerusalem. Some translations are going to say he looked toward Jerusalem or looked to Jerusalem, or he resolutely set his face. Same idea. Jesus knew what had to be done. He knew that he had to go to Jerusalem, and he knew that he had to suffer at the hands of godless men, even as Peter's going to refer to back in Acts chapter 2, looking backward on this event. Jesus came to earth to be a sacrifice. And then, of course, as he carries this out all the way to the end, as he's hanging there on the cross, recently I preached on the seven statements of Jesus on the cross of Calvary as we see depicted in Scripture. And what you see in John chapter 19 and verse 30, when Jesus would utter those words before he would bow his head and give up his spirit, it is finished. The sacrificial atoning work of Jesus Christ on the cross was accomplished at Calvary. When we understand Jesus faithfully gave himself as a sacrifice. Faithfulness looks like a servant. Faithfulness looks like a son. Faithfulness looks like a sacrifice. Faithfulness looks like Jesus. But the question that I want to ask in this application portion of the sermon, does faithfulness look like you? We know ultimately we're to look like Jesus. We're to follow in His steps. And so just some reminders for us this morning. When we stop and consider, we like Jesus can be a faithful servant. And when you go back to that demonstration that He gave in John chapter 13, when He was washing the disciples' feet, He said, I gave you an example that you should also do to others as I did to you. Jesus wants us to go out and do likewise. Just as Jesus was the picture of a faithful servant, so also we can go out and be faithful servants. And the Bible's full of verses about service that we can render to other people and in turn serve God also. You can be a faithful servant. But I want you to know that you can also be a faithful son. We know that we're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. When we obey the gospel, we become a son of the Almighty God. Here lately at Northview, we've had several baptisms. And when we stop and consider the weightiness of that, God has gained children in that process because they have been baptized into Christ, thus clothing themselves with Christ, and they have become sons of God. When we stop and consider, that is something that is spelled out for us in Scripture, and that's something that God wants us to do. He wants us to become a son of His. We can be a faithful son. But I also want you to know you can become a faithful sacrifice. No, not from the standpoint of having to go to the cross like Jesus did. That's not what I'm talking about. But we understand with Christianity, it is a life of sacrifice and submission. Jesus would say in Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And as we stop and consider, yes, there is a death that occurs at baptism when we bury that old man in the watery grave of baptism. And by the way, it's at baptism when that happens. It's not before. Because Paul would say in Romans chapter 6 and verse 7, he who has died is freed from sin. Well, if that happens before baptism, you'd be free from sin without needing to be baptized. That's not what the Apostle Paul says. I reminded one of our ladies who was baptized the other day, I said, just remember, this very day that you obeyed the gospel, I said, you've got a death certificate and a birth certificate. And she looked at me, I said, don't you remember? I mentioned that not too long ago. Because when you go down in that watery grave of baptism, you die to sin, and you get the benefits of the death of Christ in those baptismal waters. Nothing special about the water itself. It's your obedience in doing what God commands, which we're going to talk about some later. So you get a death certificate, your own death spiritually, and then the death of Christ is in view also in Romans chapter 6 with the benefits of His death, therefore clothing yourself with Christ, but also a birth certificate. Because you're raised to walk in the newness of life. So we stop and consider, yes, when we obey the gospel, there is a death certificate, but there's also the birth certificate. But go back to the death certificate for just a moment. Not only do you die to sin when you obey the gospel, but each and every day of your life, there is to be an ongoing death which occurs. Because you are to keep dying to self. You are to keep following God's will instead of your own will. Christianity is an ongoing life of sacrifice and submission. So every day, we need to continually die to ourselves if we want to be faithful to God. And as we understand what the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living in holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. In not our corporate worship like here, but our everyday life, our ongoing life of faithfulness to Him. Each and every day, we are to present our bodies as that living and holy sacrifice. Faithfulness looks like a sacrifice. And if we want to be faithful like Jesus, we too can be a faithful sacrifice. So as we close out this morning, the very pertinent question I have is, do you look like Jesus? Remember earlier when I said faithfulness looks like Jesus? And we could say that and say amen and be done and be ready to eat lunch. Well, that's true. But have you looked in the mirror lately? Do you look like Jesus? Each and every day of our lives, we should look more and more like Jesus. What does faithfulness look like? I pose that question to you because each and every one of us should be willing to be more and more like Jesus every day of our lives so that we'll be faithful and we'll be pleasing to Him. Going back to what Jesus said in John 8:29, always do the things that are pleasing to Him. You can be faithful as a servant. You can be faithful as a son. You can be faithful as a sacrifice. The choice is up to you. Is there someone here this morning who's ready to obey the gospel and that you're ready to put that old man of sin to death and you're ready to be raised to walk in the newness of life, to have your sins washed away, and so that God will add you to the number of the saved, the church, therefore becoming a son of the Almighty God? Perhaps you need to do that this morning, ready to repent of your sins and confess Jesus as the Son of God. But perhaps there's someone in here this morning who has strayed from the path. What does faithfulness look like? Well, maybe that has been spelled out for you along the way that you haven't been faithful like you should. And you want to come ask for prayers for those who are gathered this morning. We'd be glad to help you and assist you with that. If we can help you with anything this morning, will you come as we stand and as we sing?
Oh, yeah.
seated, please. Do you not have the opportunity to get a communion kit? If you would raise your hand as we sing the song, one of our ushers will assist you with that need.
The thing that I love has the care to my heart.
In 1 Corinthians 11, beginning in verse 23, we have the institution of the Lord's Supper, our memorial service that we do today. Beginning in verse 23, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." In remembrance of me. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he come. And may God bless us in the reading of his word." Jesus was willing to go through all that suffering and humiliation, to be spit upon and disrespected, because he wanted to be pleasing to his Father in obedience. Before we partake of the unleavened bread, let us give thanks. Our Father in heaven, as we prepare to take this unleavened bread, as you want us to do in this remembrance, help us to remember what our Lord suffered for us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Might have to get Renee to open this one. We learned in the New Covenant that the blood of bulls and goats could not take away sin. And we know that without the death of the testator, Jesus Christ, the New Covenant or Testament would not be in charge of our life today. We now know that through the blood of Jesus, we have the forgiveness of our sins as we go in prayer today. Dear Father in heaven, as we prepare to take this through the vine, which helps us remember the blood that Jesus shed, through which we have the forgiveness of our sins, we should be so happy. We have no reason to be guilty anymore, because we know that the blood of Jesus continually forgives our sins. In his name we pray. Amen. As we prepare to take the collection, we remember the widow's mite. She didn't have very much, but through her faith, she was willing to give what she had. Let's give thanks before the collection. Father in heaven, as this widow was a cheerful giver, help those who give this morning to be as cheerful a giver, for this is what the Lord wants of us, not only in our giving, but in our life record. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Jeremy. Appreciate those words reminding us of our faithfulness and what faithfulness does look like, and that our life every day should reflect the life of Jesus Christ and the importance that we need to be reminded of that. I think often we need to be reminded that we need to look like Christ in every aspect of our life. Everything that we do, everything that we say is a representation of what Jesus would look like. I appreciate Jeremy's lesson on that. If you didn't get a chance to fill out an attendance card, you'll text your information to the number that you see on the screen so that we might have a record of your attendance. We would appreciate that as well. We're excited this morning to welcome Corey and Nicole Martin, Madison, Jackson, Finn, and Kennedy to our family here this morning. They're in the back. You all know them, but I'm going to have them just kind of raise their hand a little bit, if you will, in the back over here. We want to welcome them to the family here at Centerville. If you don't know them, make sure that you go up and introduce yourself to them and welcome them to our family. Excited to have them to be able here. We're still working for the 19th. I hope that you have made preparation for yourself to be here, but that you have invited others to come and to be here with us as well. We're excited, looking forward to that day as well. That contribution on that day, as the elders have announced, all of the contribution, not someone asked me the other day, I've had this question asked multiple times, anything above the budget? No, our whole contribution on the 19th, the elders have decided will go to the relief efforts for the flood. And I think that's absolutely outstanding. Wednesday night, Lighthouse from 5 to 7 o'clock. Keep that on your calendar as well for our young people as we move forward. Let me give you a little bit of your schedule today. When we dismiss, if you will, adults, stay here. Jeremy's going to be doing a combined Bible class session for a few minutes. Fifth grade and down, you will go to your regular class. So after we have our dismissal prayer, please just have a seat. Don't run off. This is your Bible class for today. Jeremy will do that. Fifth grade and down, you'll go down to class. Immediately following Bible class, when you're dismissed out of Bible class, just head. I know we haven't said this in 2 years. Just head to the fellowship hall. And we're going to have a meal together. Lunch is provided for you today. So I hope that you'll stay and be a part of that with us today. Jeremy, thank you again, brother. Thanks for having us. I look forward to Bible class here in just a moment. We'll sing a song, then we'll be dismissed in prayer.
Let us pray together. Our Father, we're so thankful for this opportunity that we had this morning to come together to worship you, to sing songs of praise to you, to fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ, and also to hear a message from your word. Father, we're thankful for the time that we have to come together to assemble as the church. We're thankful for Jeremy and his lesson that he brought to us this morning as well. We pray that you will bless us as we depart from here, head to our Bible classes. We pray that you'll bless us again today as we spend time in fellowship and spend time studying words together. Father, we're thankful for the church here in Centerville. We're thankful for the heritage that we get to celebrate this month. We pray that you will help us in everything that we do to be more and more like your son Jesus and help us to strive for faithfulness in our lives every day. Father, we love you, we thank you, and we praise you. We pray these things in your son Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. not need that container back. It's got those huge ones.
If I give them back to you, sir.
Okay, we are I don't understand a word you all are saying to me.
Oh, okay.
I don't read this. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks for staying. I'm always amazed at the good folks that stay for Bible class and appreciate your faithfulness. I'm not going to take any of Jeremy's time. Jeremy, you got till you're done or 11 o'clock, whichever. And then we'll dismiss at that, and then we'll head down to the fellowship hall for our time together. So, Jeremy, it's all yours. You're ready.
Thank you, Todd. No more comments about age?
No.
Y'all haven't seen Todd speechless very often, have you? I think I just found a moment. We will see how long that lasts, right? We're glad that all of you are here as we have gathered now for the purpose of studying God's Word as we continue in this setting. What a blessing it is to be here for this, technically, the 150th anniversary that you're building up toward. As we know, I say technically because really it would have been last year, right? But COVID kind of threw a monkey wrench in things there. I want to tell you, I've got one of my biggest cheerleaders up on the front row. Aside from Todd and Renee, I caught a glimpse of Edgar Beard up here. I've known Edgar for a long time, and he's had connections with my family. And what a blessing it is to see Edgar and his family up here. And so glad that his wife is with us today and that you're doing better. It's so great to see you out and about. And then Justin read the scripture this morning. What a blessing it is to be here. I appreciate you all attending today at Centerville, and I know you're building up to some good things coming up. I wanted to start with something for our Bible class today. You know, I mentioned smallmouth fishing during the sermon. I had several people make comments, and some even showed me some pictures on the way out. That was really neat to see as they were exiting the auditorium. But one of the recent occasions that I was with my cousin Kyle, and in case any of you are wondering, Kyle Butt is my first cousin. Some people will often tell me, I saw your mother or your dad the other day, and I'm thinking, no, you didn't. You just think that you did, because I know they're talking about Stan and Sheila. Well, as I understand, you know, Stan and Sheila are my uncle and aunt, and so if anybody mentions that Kyle is my brother, and I'll just nod my head and say, yeah, he's my brother from another mother. And so we understand how that process works. It's a blessing to be in that family. But I'm indeed grateful to be here with this church family today at Centerville. And I open with an illustration that comes from my cousin Kyle. I will tell you, I've just started reading this book, and it's not very thick, not very long. In fact, I think it's about 80 pages. It's a small book, size-wise. But it's Lessons from a Sheepdog by Philip Keller. Some of you might have read it or might have read some of his other writings. And so I was explaining to Kyle what I was going to be speaking on here at Centerville during the Bible class hour as we'll spend time in study. And he said, man, I'll tell you, there's one of just the greatest illustrations on that. As you stop and consider what is in this book called Lessons from a Sheepdog. And Philip Keller explains the aspect of obedience and how he had this dog named Lass and that she just lived to be obedient. And so I included a quote that I want to open with today to direct our minds of where we're going in the biblical text this morning. This is a quote from page 35 of that book. It never ceased to amaze and stimulate me to see how thrilled Lass was. The dog's name was Lassie from the original owner. He shortened it to Lass. How she was in her wholehearted obedience. Her eyes would sparkle with pure pleasure. Her tail would wag with joy. Her body was electric, vibrant with ecstatic satisfaction. Oh, if we as God's people would be so ecstatic with the fact that we could be obedient to God. As I stop and consider this quote from this book, and I'm especially grateful for the fact that Kyle pointed this out to me.